No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys here for joining me towards the end of the week as the Colts get ready for their final game of the 2017 regular season. And there ain't no postseason, so this is it. This is the finale for the Colts this year. A lot of things that this game kind of reveals here. I mean, it's the kind of the merciful end to the season that has just been, you know, trying for everybody, including Colts fans, I'm sure, for a lot of the, I mean, for the players and coaches and all that good stuff. But it also brings a merciful end to the Pagano era, as far as we know right now. We are assuming this as much, and I think, I mean, if you really look at it, you have to assume it would be absolute craziness, bedlam, if for some crazy reason Chuck Pagano was to be retained, which I don't think that anybody expects. I think it's almost a shoe-in guarantee that he's gone. I think they have to really move this organization forward, and I think that most people agree with that. I don't think that's too far gone. But the big news, obviously, of the day was Andrew Luck talking to the press. Nice 17-minute interview. Kind of revealed a lot. Now, because I mean, I've listened and watched the press conference as well myself. I think probably a good handful of you guys have too. But for those of you who haven't, we're going to go through it here. And I'm kind of going to give you guys, like, we're going to go through little snippets of it throughout the show. I'm going to kind of give you guys, you know, the actual audio from here. I want you guys to be able to hear exactly how he was responding to stuff. And you can't see it necessarily, but I'll try to kind of add what I can from the visual aspect of it as well. But the main thing here that I saw right off the jump was Andrew Luck looked great. I mean, not only did it look good to see him, his usual uncomfortable self in front of the microphone, you know, that's just how he is. But, I mean, he looked big. You know, his arms looked big. Didn't look like the scrawny dude we saw only a couple months ago, where people were kind of like wondering how he had lost so much muscle mass and all this stuff. It looks like he's gained a great bit of that back. So that's always encouraging, right? I mean, the guy, he said he's feeling great. All this stuff, it's good, but let's just get into it here. Let's go straight into the press conference for Andrew Luck today, and you guys can kind of, you know, gauge what you think yourself.
Andrew, you were shut down November, I think, 2nd.
Yeah.
Can you kind of take us to the best of your ability through the chronology, what you did, where you went, what kind of treatment you received?
Yeah, so November 2nd, was the day I went on IR? So pretty soon after that, I went over to the Netherlands and started doing rehab with a trainer that I've worked with in the past and I trust very much. And there's really not much more to it than that. We just rehabbed at a clinic in the Netherlands, and nothing crazy, no injections, nothing out of the ordinary, a lot of rehab and a lot of work, and made a lot of progress.
So nothing was put in your, it was all just strictly classified as strength training? How would you classify when you say...
Rehab, strength training, soft tissue work. Yeah.
At what point did you realize you needed to go over to the Netherlands? Did you do something? Was there a throw? Was there a movement?
No, yeah, that's a good question. It's been... I think I realized in my mind that it was necessary for me to sort of get away because I was allowing myself to get pulled in too many directions, and it was hard for me to keep a singular focus on just getting better and getting better and getting better. And I think I allowed myself to become a distraction, which I did not want to be. I just needed to keep it simple, and that meant getting away, and so. I think it's been very productive, and it's nice to be back.
Is that anything that you pulled in different directions? Do you mean medically? Do you mean...
No, yeah, mentally, and just the ability to focus on getting better every single day, if that makes sense.
Can you compare
compare how your shoulder feels now versus maybe how it felt like late September, right before you started your first throw?
Yeah, no, I feel stronger, more stable, more confident in it. Yeah, it's better.
Last time we saw you, Andrew, you were making, you know, I don't want to 25, whatever yeah. you were, the bows on the far side of the mm-hmm. indoor practice facility. Was it a matter of, was it taking longer for the soreness to go away?
I was experiencing pain still, that scared me, because I felt, you know, or started to sort of remember the previous year and why, I had surgery in the first place, because I was feeling pain, while doing things, so I think that was something that hit my mind and precipitated, you know, all those sort of events happening.
You said you went over there to pretty ordinary treatments, is what you said.
Yeah.
Right? Does that mean you could have done that here in the States and chose to go over there?
Yeah, so the therapist that I worked with, his resources were over in the Netherlands, and clinic and other help, and so that's why one in one specific place. So no, I could not have done what I did there here. From some of the people involved aspect of it.
So let's kind of break down what we've got so far. Basically, he says that, you know, I mean, you guys heard it, but the way that you perceive him here, like I said, he's just Andrew Luck, typically very uncomfortable, you know, behind a microphone, and just all of the conspiracy stuff that was about and around, you know, about him going over there for stem cell and all this stuff. Look, I was part of it too, because I just didn't know. But that was the thing. Will Carroll was on here and he spoke about this as well. He didn't know. Nobody knew. Nobody had a clue what the hell Andrew was doing over there, right? But and Zach Kiefer gets his question in there towards the end. And states that, you know, well, you couldn't be over here and do this treatment, you know, if it wasn't a procedure, why couldn't it be done here more or less? And that's the thing. It was the guy, his trainer, who he never does name, and his team. So that was the reason that it couldn't have been done here. But like I said, throughout the bulk of this first, what, 5 or 4 minutes or whatever it is for the press conference, we see from Andrew Luck that basically he just wanted to get away from the building. You know, you can tell by looking at him, and it shows more throughout the press conference. He was not in a good place, I don't think, because of that injury bug. You know how a lot of times they say that the guys who are away from the team, whether it's by suspension, for example, a lot of people were talking about it when Josh Gordon was suspended for a long time. They talked about that was something he didn't need. That was exactly what he didn't need for his treatment. He needed to be around the team. And a lot of people suggest that changing some of the rules around suspensions and injuries, injured reserve, stuff like that, that you should still be allowed in the building for some of those stuff and all that because of this aspect. These guys, coming out of college, have college friends. We don't know where they come from, you know, college-wise, what school they come from. They come to a brand new city where they don't know anybody. They're living out of a hotel for a long time, and obviously this isn't everybody, but, you know, with people with, you know, the money, the first and second round guys, of course, they buy their house, but they're away from everybody else other than their significant other throughout these times, and they don't get a bond with their teammates. Even if you're in year 3, year 4, year 5, as you go, those are the guys that you hang out with on a daily basis. You got to keep the right company, right? So a lot of these guys don't really venture out into other circles. They've got their best of friends, but oftentimes you see a lot of these guys hang around their teammates. So when they are gone for extended periods of time like this, that wears on them. And I can tell you firsthand by just the visual of what Andrew looks like when he talks about this. He's not comfortable, and you can tell he was not happy that he couldn't be around the team. And I think that was one of the things. He said that he needed to get away because he wasn't able to do anything here. You know, he was just able to sit around, become the talking point, everybody looking at him and all this. And I guess at least for him, when he wasn't in the States and he was in the Netherlands, he wasn't a distraction to the team because he didn't have to hear about it, right? And I think that makes sense. You know, for the team, look, for the Colts this year, he's not the distraction. I mean, we all understand that. But you know, there was just some points to there that I thought were interesting. And let's listen to the next 4 or 5 minutes or so. This isn't, you know, this is kind of just me analyzing this stuff because as I was watching through this the first time, I thought there were some things that people really needed to hear from an onlooker's, I guess, point of view, as opposed to you know, a few tweets here and there and reading, because when you read it, you don't get to hear or see, you know, the emphasis that's put on something and how it's meant. Because when somebody says, yeah, at the end of the question, like Andrew does a lot of times, that in the word form written, when you read it, appears to be an answer. And it's not an answer. It's the beginning of a sentence for him. You guys know, and just listening to the stuff that when I talk, there are things that I do at the beginning of every sentence that if I were to say yes or no, you know, when someone says something to you and you say, no, yeah, you know, I mean, that's the beginning of the sentence. You're not saying both answers. You know what I mean? So this is what I mean. I wanted to give it some context. I thought you guys would enjoy listening to the press conference itself. And like I said, I'll add my tidbits in here as we go.
Medically being defined medically.
There are certain procedures you can do over there that you can't do here legally.
Yes. So yeah, no medical procedures that were done over there. Yeah.
Okay. Have you thrown a football recently?
No, I've not.
And when will you?
We're preparing to throw football, if that makes sense. So I'm sort of a progression. We're preparing to throw football, if that makes sense. So I'm sort of a progression to get to that point. And a lot of it still has to do with me and getting my strength back to a better level. I still have a ways to go there. I really don't want to skip any steps along the way. And I do not think I need another surgery. I think I'm on the right path. I think I'm on the right progression, and I'm trusting in that. So we're in the process now of sort of preparing to get a football in my hands pretty soon.
Preparing is if there is no second surgery plan.
Yes.
The only way to know that is if you start throwing and the soreness either does come back or does not.
No, I wouldn't say it's the only way to know is surgery. I think my gut and my feeling tells me that I do not need another surgery. I think I need to work another surgery. I think I need to work more and more time and to stay on this straight and narrow, if you will. So I don't want it to sound like throwing is the test, you know, for how I'm doing. I'm doing well and will continue to do well, and that, you know, that's how I feel today.
Hey, Andrew, you're such a competitor. You clearly played through this with whatever it's been since week 3 of 2015. If you had to do this all over again, would you have had surgery sooner?
Whoa, that's a good question, and I haven't thought about that. And
okay, so let's kind of go where we are here. Plus my thing's clipping a little bit for some reason. He, you know, obviously mentions here that he has not been throwing, but he's preparing to throw a football. So that's something you can tell. And like I said, his arms are noticeably bigger. It's not even, you know, there's no question to it. So that's a good thing. And you're looking, you know that he's been doing some working out. This isn't exactly yoga and stuff only. I mean, the guy is significantly larger than he was when he left. Not throwing, but preparing to throw. Whatever, I do not know what that means. I would assume that's range of motion, kind of similar stuff that we talked about before when he was supposed to be beginning his throwing regimen. The other point in there was that he was very serious when he said that he did not expect there to be a surgery. Do you guys understand? I mean, do you guys get the same point of view from that. I did not think that there was any reason to believe that he felt even wishy-washy about it. He was, you know, if his facial expressions and everything. No, I do not think I need a new another surgery. I feel like I'm good to go. And to me, that's exciting. That is something that you wanted to hear from Andrew, especially today, with him talking. You wanted to see those reactions. You wanted to see the facial expressions and how he's reacting to these. Because I think, like I said, just the written word just doesn't cut it. Let's continue on.
Yeah, and no, I'm not going to entertain the question because I don't. I don't think it's healthy to live in the past. And
just to clarify that part real quick, because I stopped it right in the middle of the conversation. Mike Wells asked him if he thought about if he could go back, would he have had the surgery sooner? So that was Luck's answer to that. Let's carry on.
Chuck said you've basically essentially been through hell.
I don't know about that.
But can you tell us what this has been like? I mean, it's been, what it be, a year tomorrow or whatever since you last played in a football game. What has the last 12 plus months been like?
I'm not gonna act like I'm unique. Every NFL player, you know, the injury rate is 100% in this league, and that's true. It's like any guy who's injured. It's not easy to watch your teammates go play. I do realize with football, I think what I value most out of it are your teammates and going out there and competing with guys and playing against another team. And to miss that is difficult. You do not feel like you're a part of the team. You know, it feels weird, but I don't feel like I'm a part of this team right now. And you can ask any injured guy that's on IR, and we've talked about this. I mean, you just don't feel like you can contribute, and you try to help out, and especially when you're around, you try to help out Jacoby or the other quarterbacks or the guys, but it's just an odd feeling. So it's not been fun, and it's not been easy. Certainly. Having a purpose and being able to work towards that purpose, which for me is getting healthy, is important. And I think that's also part of the reason why I needed to get away was to be able to focus on that, I think 100%. And so it's still a lot to do and a lot to learn, but I don't want to act like I'm the only one who's ever gone through an injury or a surgery in this league, because I know I'm not.
Expect a throw by the end of January? Do you have any sort of time frame on when you want to start that throwing?
I'd like to start it as soon as I can. That's a vague answer. That means, you know, me feeling physically confident enough to get going. And we're on a progression. I'm not going to put a date on it. I think it's unfair to myself. I think it's unfair to anybody else involved. So as soon as I can.
I don't see that being in jeopardy at all.
I'm very optimistic. Again, I feel really good today. I do not think I need another surgery. I believe in the process I'm in right now. Got great help, and so hope to continue to get better. And yeah, that's I plan on being ready for everything.
Meaning,
everything official NFL offseason schedule. Yeah.
So let's go back. Just a touch here. Now, as I spoke to you guys a little bit earlier, I get almost an emotional tone from him in this, especially his look. You can tell that this really was an issue from him. He talks again about, you know, being away from the team and how it's not easy. You don't feel like you can contribute, like you're not even part of the team. But I just wonder if when all this was going down, when he had been out for the whole offseason, everybody's talking him up. This is a person. Think about this, okay? forget about the fact that the millions of, you know, Colts fans that are excited and ready and waiting for him to come back. Andrew Luck is a dude who had a surgery where millions of people are counting on him to all but run this franchise by himself, as far as in between the lines, right? So can you imagine the pressure of this guy just constantly hearing it? Oh, he's not playing now. He's not playing after week three. Me, everybody talking about him, guessing maybe he'll be back in week six. I would guess week seven, because if they wouldn't have put him on PUP, you know, or it didn't make sense to put him on PUP, you're going to bring him back. And everything that everybody was saying, it was a weekly thing from all angles, every media outlet, anytime his name brought up, this is what was spoken. This was on his shoulders, so to speak. I mean, and kind of no pun intended there, but think about what that would be like for you to have all of these people constantly talking about. I mean, this would be, I think I have to believe this would be difficult, man. It's like, you know, you're hearing it when you're at home. You're hearing it at the facility, I would assume, as well. Not so much in the same tone, but still, you're hearing it. You're talking about it. It's a constant storyline. It's a constant thing that's going on. So I think this was a lot for him. I really do, especially, like I said, the way that he reacts, his mannerisms throughout this press conference. I think it was a little bit emotional. I think there was some mental issues with this, and I'm obviously not saying that Andrew's mentally anything. I'm just saying there was a mental aspect to this situation that I think got to him, and I think that's probably pretty normal for a guy who has this much expected of them. Any quarterback. Andrew Luck's proven himself in the NFL, right? I mean, for the most part, he has. I mean, no Super Bowl rings, Kay, but you guys all get what I'm saying. So he's not just some rookie guy. He's a guy who's been established and a guy who is anxious to play every single week and really wants to get after it. This put a major damper on him, and I think that I really do. I think, like I said, I can feel some emotional tones out of this. I can see it, the way his mannerisms are. If you guys go back and look at it, I mean, it's on Colts.com, so I'm not giving you guys anything exclusive here, but I mean, just look at it for yourself and listen to his tone and watch his mannerisms, watch what he's doing. You can see that there is something that really kicked in for him, and maybe that was why he also needed to go, and he kind of alluded to that in himself, but it's very interesting to see, you know, how he's reacting to all this. And obviously, you know, talking about, you know, throwing, getting ready to throw again, feels great, ready to throw today. You know, I'll do it when they basically say that he can. And I, you know, whenever that is, yeah, it can't come soon enough, especially if he feels good. So let's take a quick break here, guys. We'll come back and we'll analyze the second half of Andrew Luck's press conference. All right, guys, thank you for coming back to the Colts Cast. Let's dig right in. Let's without waiting too long, let's get into the second half of this.
Time light? Is that a time light, Chad? Yes, I plan on being ready.
When you go back, I mean, it looked like you're coming out throwing, you're making passes, and you look making progress. Hopefully he'll play, you know, whether it be 6 and 7. What was your initial reaction when Chris Ballard or whoever it was said, you know what, we need to put you on IR?
I understood. And a couple times I look in the mirror and realize that realistically there was not a chance for me to play when we figured out, you know, around that time of the year. And so it was weird and tough to sort of switch gears from, all right, I'm preparing to get better to play in this season and to help the team, to then switch to, okay, now I'm preparing to get healthy in general. But it was difficult to come to terms with, but like anything, you move on, and the focus sort of switched maybe a little bit then. Yeah.
What have you done to? You keep talking about you didn't feel like a part of the team. But,
yeah.
I mean, outside when you weren't rehabbing.
Yeah.
What were you doing to kind of keep your sanity mentally, since you've never done it through this before?
In the past 8 weeks.
Yeah. I mean.
I just live a normal life, I guess. I mean, we were rehabbing eight hours a day, so you put work in and be normal, clean up, vacuum, do what my girlfriend says, go to the store, get food, cook, watch TV, try and pick up some Dutch, which is a weird language. But yeah, just live a normal life, I guess.
Why do you think it took so long? I mean, this is supposed to be 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know. I wish I could tell you, because that would mean I could tell myself. I think that it was a surgery on a shoulder, and from what I understand, surgeries and people, you know, come out different from them and different feelings from them, and I'm very happy with the surgery, and it did what it needed to do. Maybe there's just some other things that I have to work through that is outside of the average, and that's okay, you know, and I'll keep working through them.
Andrew, what was the low point?
Low point. Low point. There was a time, probably a couple weeks into being away from here, maybe early December, that was pretty difficult for me. To sort of see the positive in things, and got through that and managed to see the positive in things a little more now.
Did you watch the game?
You know, I watched what I could.
What was it like watching the games from across the country, from across the Atlantic?
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird. It's hard to describe. It's like watching one of your siblings play a sport. You get really nervous and you feel quite helpless because you have zero control over what goes on. And coming to terms with having zero control over what goes on, I think, was important for me in that regard.
As a quarterback, not having control, like you said all along.
Yeah,
you love it.
Yeah. I know. I think. Generally, most guys are control freaks that play that position. So, sort of letting go is one of the things I've had to learn, and learning that has helped me a little more through this process.
Okay, so let's unpack that little section right there, and this kind of adds to what I was saying about his emotion, or you know how he was feeling mentally a little bit. But again, we get back to the take the conspiracy theory part. For him, you know, not coming back, that Jim Irsay was just using it for ticket sales, all this other BS that everybody continues to push. I mean, but this is the Colts, and this is Jim Irsay, and this is what we do, apparently. When you're bored and you can't think of a good reason why a guy who just had shoulder surgery, it can't be the reason that he just isn't healing like other people heal. Or other people have healed, but it's got to be the conspiracy. I mean, not the conspiracy, but you know what I mean. It's got to be the forethought of Jim Irsay to say he's coming back in week one or at the beginning of the season for ticket sales, to continue to say he'll be back near the end of the first of the season for ticket sales, to continue to say he's going to be back before he's off the pup. He's coming off the pup. That's for ticket sales. I mean, look, I went to 3 games. I only went to one of them, assuming that Andrew Luck was going to be playing in it. So, I mean, if you bought a ticket in the past couple of weeks, for one of these last few games, you know, it's a struggle to watch. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to watch at home. It's hard to watch anywhere. But we went to 3 games this year, and, you know, as much as the Colts make you want to, you know, pull your hair out if you've got any, I just don't buy that. I mean, some of it maybe. You know, but I don't consider those guys fans. They don't care about the team. What they want is to see a couple superstars run up and down the field and to have a couple beers at the stadium. They're not really like, I guess like us, right? We want to know the ins and outs of this team. They just want to know Andrew Luck and whoever scores a touchdown. I mean, that's my opinion. So maybe not a popular one, but it is. And so when he went to IR, of course, you know, like he said, he understood. It wasn't something that he felt that, you know, was the end of the of his career or anything like that. But, you know, he understood he wants to come back. He wanted to come back, I think. And I think that, honestly, if for all the BS talk about Ballard and the Colts fumbling and bumbling through this, think about it this way, I guess, just to give yourself a little bit of shine. Ballard shut him down. Maybe Luck wasn't wanting to get shut down. Maybe Luck just said, I was scared because I was sore and was still getting some pain. And Ballard did the smart thing, saying, look, man, you shouldn't be having any pain. So we're shutting you down whether you want to or not. You can hear a couple different times throughout this, and definitely in the last 3 or 4 minutes here on the end of the press conference, you'll hear it. You know, Luck wants to be out on that field like today. You know, it's there. It's very real. So, you know, I think that all of that and the little part there where Luck says, you know, there were some extra things for me, or, you know, talking about shoulder surgeries, basically. He went on and said, everybody heals different. And then you see a slight change in his facial expression. He drops his head. He says, and there may have been, you know, some extra things that I have to work on that weren't for the average person, basically. That, to me, is him understanding that he was having some mental problems with this. And I hate saying mental because I just don't want anybody to take this in an idiotic way. You know what I'm saying. I'm just saying that he was dealing with some stuff from this, from the extended you know, absence from the team, from his coaches, from Indianapolis in general, you know. And I think that like I said, I've said it a few times, but he's said it a few times. I just really think that it affected him. I really do. And I think that that was part of the not, and that I don't even believe that that had anything to do with Jim Irsay, which you'll hear in this last bit here. But I just don't think that that had anything to do with what Irsay was saying. Irsay's not stupid. He's crazy and should never talk publicly, but he's not stupid about football. He understands that this game is 80-90% mental. Okay? That's what Irsay was saying. Anybody who took it otherwise is just being, you know, trying to find a headline. And that's what people do now, and that's okay. But Andrew Luck was really dealing with some stuff upstairs. I would be. I think that I would be. I think that anybody would be that's competitive and that wants to play football and that has been away from their teammates for as long as they were. So I understand this. And like I said, tomorrow people are going to be telling, you know, tweeting me and telling me that I said that Andrew Luck was a head case or something like that. But this is kind of par for the course, guys. Trying to break this down reality here so that people can understand. So let's go through the end of this real quick, and we'll wrap up the show after that.
But yeah, watching was weird.
As you talk about the low point, did you ever cross your mind like saying, I hope to get back to playing football? Because I mean, it's your right arm. It's why you say the NFL. Did you ever start questioning, will I be able to get back out there? Will I ever be the Andrew Luck that was number one?
Yeah, well, I hope it's more than just my right arm for the reason I'm in the NFL. But no, I've never entertained the thoughts of this sort of. I assume what you're saying is career ending. No, it's crossed my mind, but I don't think that at all.
We did talk about things you go through mentally, physically. Mueller mentioned that some of it's between your ears. Mm-hmm. Is there some action to that? Did you question how you handle things?
Yeah, I think Mr. Irsay's comments maybe were taken out of context a little bit, and I've had a lot of discussions with Mr. Irsay, and come away each time feeling very impressed with how he's handled this team and him as a person, and appreciative to, you know, have a guy like him on your side, on my side, is awesome. But I think there are mental things that anybody who's injured goes through in any surgery, and not just football, but in any part of life. You know, that's something you have to work through, and the frustration of not being out there is part of it. And the you know, understanding, I think naturally I'm somewhat of an impatient person, and understanding that patience truly is a virtue, and it is necessary in situations, has been important for me to understand.
There have been implications that maybe there was a rift between you and the team. Can you address that at all? Has there been any time where you wanted out of Indianapolis during
the season? No, that I was not aware of those. I guess rumors, and no, that's not true. I'm very, very happy here.
You used past tense when you talked about pain earlier, too. Does that mean right now you're pain-free?
Yeah, I'm not exactly where I want to be. I'm not 100%. I'd like to think if I was 100%, I'd be suiting up for a game on Sunday. But my pain has significantly gone down, and that's why I feel so optimistic about the process and the plan that's ahead of me.
When you went to Europe, when you left, whatever November, whatever, did you stay over there the entire time, or did you come back at all?
I did. No, we stayed in the Netherlands the whole time, and ordered turkey from the butcher to make a Thanksgiving meal, and had Christmas there and work. So it was good.
I mean, what was the treatment? I mean, what did you do there that you couldn't do here, or what was this trainer that you know and you're familiar with?
Mm-hmm. It had a lot to do with him.
Okay.
And the Colts have been really, really supportive.
It was your choice to go over there, but they supported you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And again, what the resources that he had over there. That were not available here. A lot of it, some people and some other things. And yeah, so that's why, I think, if I'm answering your question.
You want to give your trainer some free pub? What's his name?
No, he doesn't need his name to be out there. Yeah.
Emotionally, just how draining has this been?
It's you get a little emotionally tired. I am, I think, a little emotionally tired from the whole process, but that's all right.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So that's the end of the press conference there. A couple notes to kind of end on that. Basically said that, you know, as far as wondering whether it was career ending or not when he was going through all this, that it crossed his mind. I think that simply just says, you know, people understand because it took so long that you wonder, what the hell's wrong with my shoulder? You know, why isn't it healing up? I think that's natural. Sorry about coughing in the microphone. I think that's natural, though, right? I mean, you're a pro athlete. You're out for a while. Everybody else, you know, seems to be coming back from their shoulder surgeries. You know, like Cam Newton, obviously a different surgery. But nevertheless, it's like, what the hell's wrong with mine? I can understand why it would cross his mind. But like I said, emphatically, no. This is not coming, you know, going to end my career. So... not only that, but the rumors about the Colts and him being in some sort of a rift, as our friend George Bremer asked there towards the end, I think that says it all. You know, it's like, I didn't hear those rumors, which I thought was great, because it's not, you know, this or basically saying, you know, those don't bother me. I didn't care. I didn't hear those rumors, you know, so I thought that was funny. He says that he's very happy in Indy. So I hope, honestly... I mean, look, we should have heard from Andrew Luck a long time ago. A long time ago. Long-ass time ago. This is not okay for us. I mean, and look, that sounds so ridiculous, but as fans, your $100 million quarterback is almost never behind the mic, and he never is up there for 17 minutes. So knowing the Colts and how their PR works and stuff like that and being there and seeing how quick some of these question and answer sessions can be, 17 minutes is a pretty damn good amount of time from the Colts for Andrew Luck. But I have to believe the press, the fans, everybody deserved that because we hadn't heard from him forever, right? We should have heard something from him. You know, just an acknowledgement that everything's good. And I'm talking about all this rumor crap because if you notice, a hefty point after... you know, there was very few questions about how is your shoulder. It was, what were you doing in the Netherlands? What could you do there that you couldn't do here? Which is medical, you know, I mean, some sort of a training, you know, get themselves, it's basically shoulder related. But more or less, it was to dispel the rumors that he went over there for stem cell. I mean, come on. You know, the rumors of the rift between he and the Colts. Was it career ending? Or did he think it was going to be career ending? Those are all rumors that have been around. Are you happy with the Colts? I mean, look, this is stuff that drums us up to talk about stuff. And rumors get started like this, and BS gets spread. This is why you don't believe everything you read on Twitter, you know. And for these guys, those guys that cover the team, like George, I mean, Stephen Holder, those guys all do a great job, as far as I'm concerned. And Zach Kiefer, I mean, Chappie and Kravitz, those guys do a good job getting questions to them. But for stuff like this, man, those guys, you know, you can trust them if they put something out. But don't believe every schmuck that writes out some BS rumor, you know, source this or that. It's garbage, guys. It's garbage. It's absolute trash. Don't listen to it. And don't, you know, worry your little pretty head about it. We'll talk about it, the possibilities of one direction or another as far as what could be and what couldn't be true. But we're not going to go into somebody told us this kind of crap. Unless there's something that's passed along to me or anything like that. And that's the way I've been. If you guys have been around, you know that I write like that. And you know that I don't talk about stuff that I haven't been told on this podcast, and for 2 years straight right now, very few things have I been told, right? So, and very few things I have passed along. So, just watch yourselves with all that. So, I mean, just understand that people are going to talk water cooler, the hubbub. It's going to come. It's going to happen, and it's probably going to happen more this offseason. But I really think that this year, I think this offseason, especially with how emphatic Andrew was about how excited he is to come back, how willing he is to start throwing right away, that I think we're going to see some video of him throwing every time he picks up a football. And I'm being sarcastic and a little, drastic here, but I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see some of it. You know, it's going to be some hidden camera off the side where he's throwing a football in Stanford with a couple of the receivers or something like that eventually after, you know, this all gets squared away and they tell him he either does or does not need another surgery. He obviously does not feel that he does. And, you know, maybe that's it. I mean, the end result of him getting the surgery was him. He chose the doctor, not a specialist. And so he's going to choose probably again if he gets another surgery. Here's my thing. If Andrew Luck feels like he can throw the football with minimal pain and it's not something that's going to, you know, wear on his body that he doesn't feel and he's a smart dude. If he's not comfortable putting himself through the amount of pain that it's going to cost him to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game for the next 5 to 10 years, then he's not going to do it. And when I say that, I mean the little pinches in here and stuff. I don't even know what kind of pain that he could be possibly feeling, but that's my assumption. He's going to determine if the pain that he feels when he throws and really chucks a ball, if that's worth it to do that part of it 10 to 15 times a game and then throw another 30 times on top of that. Really, honestly, as bad as it's been this season, every Indianapolis Colts fan should hope that he goes through all these processes, that it does drag on, that it is taxing and time-consuming, to make sure that he comes back 100% ready to go, healthy, and without any worry of, you know, just this reoccurring. Yes, it's from taking hits, but it's also from the torque and stuff he puts on his body as well. It's a combination of that. It's playing football from, you know, at the quarterback position. So I'm excited for Andrew Luck. I'm excited for the Colts next year. Andrew Luck gave – I think this press conference made me feel a lot better. I hope that it did you guys too. It doesn't always work that way with fans, obviously. I mean, some people think differently about the thought process and the spoken word than others. But I felt better after watching this, especially seeing how he looked. He looked strong again. He looked very mentally aware of what he was trying to convey. And that's what, you know, that I appreciate the most from Andrew Luck. He's a very transparent guy. When he, you know, if something's over the top or something is obvious, he shows that in his mannerisms, when he speaks. So, like I said, this made me feel better about Andrew Luck. Made me feel a lot better about next year. We've got an off season. We're going to talk about it. And hopefully a lot of it's positive, and hopefully none of it has anything to do with another shoulder surgery. So, guys, that's it for the day. Kind of a, I wouldn't say boring. It was, I enjoyed it, you know, being able to talk through it with you guys. I hope that you guys enjoyed it as well. Instead of me just going through and analyzing the entire thing, I wanted us to analyze it together. You're hearing it. You're hearing what I got to say about it. Maybe you think I'm full of it. But one way or another, you got to hear the entire press conference. And you can make the decision on your own of how it makes you guys feel. So that's what this is all about. We are going to do another live show next week. I'm loving doing these. So we need more of you guys to call in for these live shows. I'm going to put this in possibly up on Stampede Blue the nights that we have them scheduled for. Typically, it's at 10 o'clock. Could be as late as 10:30 as far as start time. But we're going to go for at least an hour. And it could be just me, maybe me and Brock, or me and Brett, maybe me and Jake. I don't know who's going to be with me or if anybody will be, but we need more callers. So make sure you guys are getting some questions and stuff, because it's going to be the end of the season. We're going to have a lot to talk about more, my guess, by the time we have the live show next week. Pagano will probably be gone. We will start hearing a lot of names being floated around. Stuff like that. So we should have a lot to talk about on the next live show. I'm guessing for Wednesday or Thursday, but I'll keep you guys in tune. If you guys don't follow, or if you guys don't actually go to Stampede Blue to get the link and the to watch it live or to listen live, or the phone number to call in, you can follow me on Twitter, my Facebook, or whatever you guys need to do to get it. I'll post all that stuff on there once we schedule the show. So thank you guys all for listening, and I'll catch you next time right here on the Colts Cast.